617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones, talk to David in the car. He's got a thought on the Bruins and their playoff chances. Go ahead, David.
David.
We had a real problem with David in the car not being ready for
the phone
calls.
I feel like he's been good lately, though.
He has been lately, but aren't there two Davids in the car?
Yes.
Aren't there two of them?
I believe
and this
there
maybe
are.
Is the one who's never ready, and that's unfortunate because I think this is the biggest subplot here. We already know what the consequence for this is with Jeremy Swayman. We know that he'd be missing out on a year of $5-6 million, whatever it is that he'd be making this year, and we understand that. That's very much the unknown consequence is what this is going to do to the Bruins team. We don't know that. We don't know if they're going to be a playoff team. We don't know if they're not. We don't know if they're going to take a massive step backwards. We don't know if goalie Bob is able to work his magic with anybody they bring in here. You know, like you mentioned that no one thought anything about Ullmark. They turn him into a Vezina winner. Could they do the same thing with a guy like Korpisalo? I lean towards no. And the other thing about it is with like when I talk about the situation that they were in and how good it was having these two good goalies, a Vezina winner and this young guy coming up behind them, and what a great situation you were in. Once you decided we're going to move on from the Vezina winner, right? Like, that's who they moved on from. They moved on from the guy with the hardware. He's older, fine. But, like, they decided they were going to move on from him. And there's been, historically, lots of examples of this. There was Mike Richter and Van Beesbrook in New York and Osgood and Hasek in Detroit and, all these Belfour and all these other goalie tandems over the years where there was one older guy, one younger guy. The older guy moves on. They commit to the younger guy. They pay him whatever they need to. And that's how they proceed. They did all that, but then are now trying to lowball the young guy. And I just think that that's not the way that this works. Like, historically, it doesn't work like this. You move on from the old guy, the big winner, the Vezina winner, then you have to commit to this young guy, and they're not doing it.
So you keep throwing around low ball. They started low ball, just like he started high ball. The weird part is it seems like they've gotten close.
Right.
Right? Like, I guess it depends what you're believing. Is he still up in the nines, or is he 8.5? Because if you believe 8.5 to 8, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Figure it out. And you mentioned it. We always talk about other players and how they view things. If I'm Brad Marchand, if I'm Pasta, if I'm any of those guys, and you're like, wait a minute, if they feel like like Scott feels,
right?
And Scott's around the team, so I'm guessing some of it would be shared, the same feeling. Like, they probably feel like if we have Swayman, we're a cup contender. If things go right, if things, and now we're going to be scuffling. And no disrespect to any other goalie, just the reality is, with our goalie, we're a cup contender. And you're going to waste a year of my career?
Yeah.
That's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
Over $500,000? Is that what I heard? Is that what I read? Is that I heard on WEEI during the trending, that it's over $500,000 a year? My whole career, you're going to take a year away for $500,000?
Yeah, and not just that.
Like, that would piss me off.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. And it should. And I think that's part of the reason why this is so personal. Like, they're to the point now, and I think that if they really were showing that love to Jeremy Swayman and they believed in him, and I know they've made offers, so it's not like they don't want him.
Right.
But you go all in a commitment like that, you know? You signal that to the player, and you signal that to the fan base and everybody else. This is our guy. We're paying him $8 million, whatever it is that he's ultimately asking for, which I think 8 would have gotten the job done months ago if they had offered that to start with, and instead of starting at 6.25 or whatever embarrassing offer they made. And I think it just got worse and worse over time. I just don't think that they ever really were able to see eye to eye here. Maybe some of that's on the agent and Cam Neely being a couple of hard heads or whatever. But at some point, someone has to be an adult and say, you know, we need this guy. Let's give him what he wants and let's get on with our lives.
So what if they feel like, because I keep going back to that Fluto projected contract of 4 years, $28 million. And I'm assuming he didn't pull that just, you know, out of nowhere, out of thin air. So if the Bruins feel like, well, we went from 4 to 8 on term because you seemed to indicate term mattered. You wanted the security. And we went from 6 to 8 or 6-something to 8 in money. Doesn't it feel like that's a long way?
Yeah.
If you double, you went from a 4-year deal to an 8-year deal. And you added $2 million a year-ish, right?
Ish.
That, like, they've come up significantly.
Yeah, from a pretty lame offer.
So you didn't come down at all on your years because you wanted 8.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe Rich Keefe, you wanted $80 million.
Well, if you believe Elliot Friedman, they talked about it and they all agreed on 8.
Right, right.
Right.
But at some point, it feels like, again, the Bruins were probably talking lower deals too.
Probably.
Whereas Swayman, it feels like, came in looking for 8 years, $10 million a year, knowing that it's high.
And if the Bruins believed in him and were, you know, that would be good news for them. You know, they'd be like, wow, 8 years. All right, let's get this
and
done.
And $10 million
let's
a year?
Let's lock this guy. Not 10 million, but 8 years
okay,
is a good starting point.
Okay, so we came
point.
Up to eight.
We agree.
Here
four. We are.
So we came up to eight for years. We mm-hmm. doubled our years. We added $2 million.
But why did they only want four in the first place is the question then.
A
bridge deal before they actually have to pay him when he's 30 years old? Like that's
I think there's some reason to question if he's going to be what everybody wants to anoint him. I think that is a fair question to ask.
You can say that about anybody. I mean, you know, before
well, no,
you sign him to a contract.
He's not a known commodity.
Sorokin was second in the Vezina, and then they gave him 8 years, $8.5 million per year, 825 or whatever it was, and they did that based on what they thought he would be going forward.
Right.
You know, that's a gamble
there's
that
a
you take.
Projection being
when you
made.
Believe in the player, you do it.
But it's a projection.
And they don't believe in him
and
like
if
that.
You don't totally believe in it, or if you can just cover your bases for a couple years and figure it out, or wait for the cap, wait for your contract situations. There could be a million reasons why you'd say, oh, I'm willing to do a 4-year deal and then maybe do an 8-year deal after that or whatever, wherever it goes. Because he's 26, so he's probably not going
to
do an 8-year
deal. He's 25 now. He's about to turn 26.
So I guess you could do 4 and 8 if you wanted to. 12 years. It's not crazy.
No.
I mean, it seems like a long time, but
4 years, 30, and then 8 at the end of that? Well, yeah, okay, but
be kind of a long.
Did you sign an 8-year deal at 29? That's not, you know, like unless you go out for the next couple of years and absolutely kill it.
Wait, but I think he's the best goalie in hockey. Like that's kind of what he's asking to do. He's asking them to believe he's going to go out and kill it. And then you're saying, well, he'd have to go out and kill it to get the next contract. Well, you're kind of asking them, you're presuming you're going to kill it. That's the contract you're asking from them
right.
at $8 and $10 million
and
a year.
If they still had Omar here, then I'd understand that from the Bruins' perspective, but they don't. That leverage is gone. Like, they're not, it's not like, well, wait and see. Let's see what this kid actually is. Like, no. We've put all our eggs in the Jeremy Swayman basket. We think he's going to be good, but we don't want to pay him what he wants.
Isn't that an olive branch? Isn't that a negotiation? Like, we believe in you. We're making you our 55-game goalie because that's what the number everybody wants to play, 55 games, right?
Yep.
Isn't there something to be said for. That was a sort of olive branch?
Maybe. You know, like.
You just see nothing positive from the Boston Bruins right now.
Well, just trading the other guy and then lowballing Swayman, I don't think is some big magnanimous thing. No, I don't look at it that way.
I don't even know if six and change is really lowballing to start.
I think it is.
I don't think it's any crazier than 10 million. I think they both started at different poles.
Fine, but 10 million is, yeah, I'd agree. That's
you don't
pretty
keep
high
saying crazy offers from Swayman.
No, I don't.
Okay, you keep portraying it in a certain
but
light.
But Swayman's requesting something that the team has to give him. I mean, it's a different power dynamic there, obviously.
Right, and they're requesting you take this $6 million knowing you're not going to.
Sure.
Knowing it's a starting point.
The fact that they're starting at that point, I don't think really speaks to a lot of love being shown in these negotiations. That's all. And there wasn't any in the arbitration hearing either. And they've really taken this guy to the cleaners. And at some point, I think you have to look at it if you're Jeremy Swayman and say, what do these people want from me? Like, do they want to commit to me or not? Are they going to offer me embarrassing $6 million? Of course I'm not going to take that. And they won't come up to the number that I want. And this is all very, very petty and not something that I want to be a part of going forward. I'm shocked that he hasn't outright demanded a trade yet. Maybe he has. And I don't blame him if he has.
Yeah, I look at it the total different way. He hasn't come down. He hasn't taken the trade as a sign of investment in him by the team, giving away their leverage. I think it's all about the lens that you look at it through. Like, I think you can make a strong argument of that. They invested in Jeremy Swayman the day they traded Omar. Hell, they tried to invest in him last year, and Omar blocked it.
Right.
Right? Like,
it was an investment in the sense that they were trying to establish that and say that. And when you do that, then you have to treat him like he's the guy. You don't just do it and say, well, now you're the guy. That's like saying, okay, Andy, we got rid of Arcan. We're not going to pay you anymore, but now you have to do all the work that he was doing.
No.
Isn't that what a great thing for you? Like, you know, like that's not, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't matter.
But the difference is they are offering to pay him more, just not at the top of the market, right? That's
not even the top of the market. Top of the market's
$10
million.
That's what he's asking for. I believe Rich Keefe.
But
I always go with Rich Keefe.
They just got up to $8 million. And if he's asking for $8.5 million, that's not top of the market. That's what Sorokin got. And he's not top of the market. And Swayman had a better year than Sorokin.
So what do you believe the Bruins' first offer was?
I believe that it was $6.25 million.
Okay. So they've come up.
Whatever the reporting
was. I believe that it was six. Yeah. So they've come up basically $1.75 million to $8 million.
Sure.
Correct?
And
he started at 10.
He started at 10 and has come down to 8.5.
Well, yeah, so he came down 1.5. We came up more than you came down. Let's meet in the middle.
Yeah, well, where they started was more ridiculous than where he started, I think.
You think.
I do think that,
I bet you they think differently.
Yeah, anyway, 617-779-7...
That was good. We almost made it to the bitching hour without having our little bitch off.
It was pretty close.